3 Nephi chapter 5. The Nephites attribute everything that has happened to them to be of God. And during the 9 years of war, they have been prepared and purged so that they can better serve the Lord. They indeed believe in Jesus Christ, and they begin to serve God. In verses 4 and 5, we learn that they teach their prisoners, the robbers, they teach them the word of God. And if the robbers will accept that, then they are set free. But if they still have murder in their hearts, then they were executed. Now we note two things from this. First of all, that they must have used the Spirit and counted on the Spirit of judgment in order to discern the hearts of the prisoners or robbers. And second, the death penalty was not unreasonable, because all of these had committed treason and had desired to use force or to murder, obtain power over the other people. And again, note that it is murder. When just because we have a war doesn't mean that that means it's all right to fight or to kill someone. The point is that when you are trying to usurp power and authority over the government, that is murder, even when you're having a war. And that would have been their desire. And so the point is that they were already guilty of murder and treason, and this preaching was just giving them a second chance. Well, that pretty much ended that account. And then Mormon says that that he is writing writing in this record, and he says some things about the record. And in verses 12 and 13, he makes two important pieces of doctrine. And that is, first, that Alma the Elder established a church while Mosiah was in the land, which means that he had the authority given to him directly from God, meaning he was given all the keys of the kingdom, which means the right to establish a churches, even while Mosiah was in the land and was the head there. And second, Mormon says that he is a disciple of Jesus Christ, and having received his authority directly from Christ. And again, we see that Scripture tells us that Jesus can give his authority directly to anyone he wants. And when, again, the idea that man has said that it must come through them is incorrect. The correct thing is it must come from Jesus Christ, and you must prove that it came from Jesus Christ, meaning so that it came from him. But it's not an administrative thing where you prove it through having come through man. You just that must have to show that it came from Christ. He then says that this is not a complete record, and so therefore what this means is that we must use the Spirit and then ponder the conditions of what was going on in the Book of Mormon in order to get an understanding of the Scripture. And examples of this is the number of times that it repeats the turning the people to Christ. Each time it talks of Christ, it does not give the complete plan of salvation or gospel of Christ. It just talks a bit about Christ. But throughout the different discussions of Christ, the complete gospel and plan of salvation is given. And when they talk of Christ, we're obviously to have it in our hearts, the complete plan. And so at times during a commentary, it's felt impressed to try and repeat these things, because the people then just want to say, oh, well, that's, they just want to give a little, say that all these men are doing it, just giving a little lip service to a Christ. I mean, meaning that in their hearts, that's how they, at church, and when they go about, all they do is give lip service to Christ. They just mention a couple things about Christ, but they're really not taking or believing or filling the entire plan of Christ of salvation. And when they mention his name, and which means they haven't really taken Christ completely into their life, and they're not then he reemphasized this in verse 20 by saying that he blesses the Savior for giving them so much knowledge of salvation. Again, the Book of Mormon has a complete gospel in it. It tells us everything we need to know to get back to Christ and what we're supposed to be doing in this life. But again, people just want to just say, well, it really doesn't apply to our day. It talks about it another time. And again, it's not only does it give the plan of salvation clearly and completely, but it also is a handbook to show us of the problems and wars and things that we will have in the last days, and we should be in our minds preparing for that. And then in verse 22 repeats that he blesses and prospers those who follow him. And in this case, when it says bless and prosper, bless is in reference to he progresses you. He gives you what you need. He gives you the experiences. He gives you everything in order for you to progress. In this story that we've just heard about the Nephites, their years of war and everything were given for them to progress and to purge some of the wicked out of them, to refocus their mind, and this was a blessing because it was given through complete grace and mercy that the Lord gave them this opportunity to better focus on Him and get themselves straightened around. And then while He was doing that, He also prospered them, meaning while they are learning to follow Him more closely, He is also prospering them in their efforts, meaning not their efforts, but their progression efforts, but even in the physical efforts, He prospers them that they have plenty in this world. In the end, He, in verses 23-26, He repeats a message to us of the last days, and He tells us that the Lord will gather a remnant of Joseph. And what this is doing is it's repeating that as you read the Book of Mormon and as you study Scripture and you believe in Christ, you are waiting to be gathered so that you might live like these people in the Book of Mormon. You might have the opportunity to live around other true followers of Christ and prove your devotion and have the joy of having them with you. That is always a feeling we have when we read the Book of Mormon. We say, I wish we could have lived in those days when at least there were people, when there were other followers around to give comfort and to support each other. And we have that desire when we read it. And he's giving this out as a word of comfort, that the Lord has not forsaken and forgotten you. It might seem that way, as he said in a previous portion, but he's just saying that this Book of Mormon is written for you, the remnant of Joseph, those true followers of Christ who are waiting to be gathered. The Lord will gather you, and you're just to be patient, but be comforted by these words that the Lord has not forgotten you.